Saints, God's blessings be upon you. I want to give an announcement while I'm here or I'll forget it. And that is that on Thursday nights at the Barn of Riches, Brother Stephen Strew and I are switching off on Bible studies. The young people had asked, we want to know better how to witness. And we've, now that we're up to the age people asking us questions, we don't know what to say. And so we're trying to go over all those things so we can get the people geared in. And it's, they wanted to aim it at 18 and up. So it's not a youth meeting per se. It's 18 and up in singles. So as many as would like to come, 7:30 on Thursday nights at the Barn of Riches. All right. I'm going to start out just a little bit different this morning. You may be seated. Several people had asked me, because I've been off the field now for a period of time, what are you doing now? What's happened since your last testimony services, which was back in 2003? And so they've kind of asked us 7 years now, what have you been doing? What's going on in your life? Are you just sitting at home or what are you doing? And and so I kind of, Brother Franco and I have been putting together a few pictures and stuff, and so I wanted to, for those of you people that don't know me, I forgive you, you forgive me that you got here, going to have to sit down through my testimony, terrible, I'm sorry about that. But nevertheless, I want to start out just with a brief touch of the last session I had in September of 2003. And we'll touch on that, and then I'll kind of come and pick up from there and continue on, and I'll explain a little bit more as we're going through that. You'll understand more about what's happening this morning. So, Brother Franco, if you don't mind.
Nice to be with you. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 20. I'm hoping I can wrap it up tonight, and we'll see. For those of you that haven't been with us, this is testimony. So, Acts 20, 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to stop back there because it's testifying. That's what we're trying to do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, every testimony has to spring from you. And as I hear the reports back from the people, if they've listened to my testimony, they've been continually reminded of the very same things that they've gone through also in their lives. And it's because you deal with your children. And we're glad that we're in that category, your children. And so, God, continue to deal with us. And as I give my testimony, Lord, may either the people recognize what's going on in their lives, or when it comes in the future, recognize it because they've heard about it, or may just say, yep, been there, done that. And so, Lord, we just rejoice in what you're doing in our lives because we know, like Jeff said, we're already in a rapture cycle, so we know where we're going. And God, we just want to do everything possible to be sure we take as many with us as possible, and it's only possible by letting your life shine through us. Take the service, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have to admit that in one sense, of all my years of missionary work, I feel it was primarily training me for this last push of mine, physically push of mine in the Russian speaking, because I want to back off from all the travel. And God has placed it in the heart of Brother Barry Coffey, Brother Eugene Brown, and Brother Jason Watkins to work closely with us. And I've talked to Brother Barry kind of about like being my extension over there. If he would take that place, he said he'd be glad to. So my desire is to back off from so much personal activity in Russia and see if we can see what kind of seed is in between, visualize your map now, in between Israel and China. Got a picture in your mind? What's the religion there? Whole thing's Muslim. So I want to see what we can do there. But I have to say that since God has put it in your hearts to stand behind us in reaching this elect lady wherever she may be, without that, nothing would be happening. All of my efforts would be solitary and minuscule as they were in the beginning days if it wasn't for the fact that God's put it on your hearts, just like he's put it on mine. I'm doing my part, you do your part. And so I'm going to close on my ministry and my testimony right there. Kind of got you up to date. I left out a lot of the more personal stuff. You get to be feeling embarrassed about that stuff after a while. So, yeah. Jeff, musicians.
And our political world today and our religious world is just exactly like it was in the days of the first coming of the Messiah. It's polluted. The whole system is rotten. Our politics, it could get no worse. And our religion, I don't see how it could get any worse than what it is now. The whole thing is corrupted. Our political world, man-made systems and fashions, we want everything, just everything, so we can take it easy and retire and take life easy. Life wasn't intended to be easy. Life is a struggle. Anything that's got life is a struggling. Look at the trees, how they struggle. Look at everything. It's got life. It's a struggle. And when we try to get some kind of a system that takes it easy, then we're wrong. And we know there's something wrong.
So does that disappoint you? No retirement. Life is supposed to be a struggle all the way to the end. Another place he said, retirement, that's not scriptural. So praise God. So I'm not retired. Amen. I mentioned the brothers there that had volunteered to help, and just as a reminder to you, here's Brother Barry Coffey. He's now the pastor of the Hickory Bible Tabernacle down in North Carolina, and he and I traveled together for about 3 years overseas a lot, and the people began to get a feeling for working with him. His ministry is very, very different than mine, You've all heard it because he's spoken for us at almost every family camp. And so he was, when I asked him about working with me, he was glad to kind of take over and keep the ball rolling when I wanted to back off. And then Brother Jim here locally, whom you see every Sunday morning, he has just been a tremendous blessing to lift the load and take over on so many things pertaining to missionary work and carry the ball. And then Brother Chad Lamb is our missionary in training, and he's just blessed to have a wife that's not like eager for him to get out of the house. I don't want to say that, but that she's behind him and wants him to fulfill his ministry. And then Brother Eugene Braun, pastor up in Edmonton, Canada, he's just jumped right in to work right with us, and anything he and his church can do to work with us, they're just extremely cooperative. We chat on the phone every once in a while. Tremendous guy to work with. He's got a way of kind of like special insights into things. You'd have to be around him a lot to understand that, but it's a wonderful gift he's got, both into human nature and also into certain scriptural things. Sometimes he'll ask me a doctrinal question and I'll explain it to him, and he'll say, "Oh, well, then in that case, that means blah, 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 blah." And I hadn't even thought about blah, blah, blah. I'd only thought about the part I told him. So he just, things click for him that way. It's wonderful to kind of work with him. And then Brother Jason Watkins, pastor in Beaufort, South Carolina, he's worked with us real close, right? Initially, when we were first doing a real hard push among the Russian-speaking bride. And then he has felt to move another way, and he's, I just won't even go into it, but he's working with missions in another part of the world. So God has just given us a tremendous group of people to work with. Now, these 7 years haven't been an idle time by any means, but those people that work with us, I couldn't help but think about this scripture that Paul gave us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." So my ministry has been primarily a planter. We've started churches kind of all over the world. But the follow-up work, a lot of the real detail work, I wasn't ever really good at that. I could kind of get things going, and then people like Brother Barry can come in and kind of pick up the ball and run with it, and he's just really good at watching over the nits and lice and details. And Brother Jim is also just a really excellent detail man. So these brothers have stepped in to handle those things. So it just is a joy to work with him and see what God can do when he's making a transition, how that somebody's right there. He doesn't leave a void. There's just something right there. I want to speak about Global Answers more a little bit later this morning, but because of the clip that you just saw mentioned where we were trying to reach out, I'd like for you to just see a short clip of our Global Answers, just a short part with Arabic subtitles, so that you can get a feeling for what that looks like to the Arabic people.
We have fellowship one with another, that's us and God. Mm-hmm. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So here's a contingency added to we believe mm-hmm. in what Jesus did at Calvary. Mm-hmm. But the next question is, are you in the light as he's in it?
Let me ask a question then. And maybe you can elaborate. So
you get an idea there. The Arabic language, we don't put a verbal translation on because their wording and our wording is enough different that we can't kind of reach the conclusion at the same time. It takes more of their verbal to reach it. So the brothers over there are only putting an Arabic translation across the bottom. So, but most of the things that we put out for overseas use, person can listen to it in the English with a subtitle in their language, or they can listen to it completely with their voice only, without the English. So let me just show you a quick one on that of the Portuguese. language, and which is different now. Brother Paulo is doing the translation.
Se algo a falar assim no seu coração, se eu fosse assim, eu aceitaria. Isso é ordenação, eu quero encontrar este grande tesouro. Você encontra e você quer continuar a buscar e a servir a Deus. E a mulher no poço, por exemplo, quer dizer, eu garanto-lhe que havia algo lá dentro dela que diz, estou tão vazia, estou tão insatisfeita. E quando Jesus começou a falar com ela instantaneamente, ela disse, sabemos quando o Messias vier. O que...
So there you see it. Now some of the brothers have got it where they've got a two system, and so there's one voice for Jeff and one voice for me and a two system. But over there we haven't been able to work that out yet. Some of you may remember several years ago at family camp, a brother Fernando Silva came from Portugal, came and visited us at family camp. This is his boys now that are working. Fernando is a pastor, but his two sons, Paulo and Jorge, which is George, are now both speak English very, very well, and they work together on translating Brother Branham's messages into book form, and Paulo also does the verbal translations of Global Answers for us. Paulo, by the way, is making his first trip to America. He'll arrive here in Dayton tomorrow afternoon, so I'll go pick him up at the airport. So Wednesday you'll get to meet Paulo. He's a young man. He's still in college and just working hard at college and serving God too. So I hope I don't make you all feel too lazy, you college students. But he's just really, really working hard at it. I thought it interesting on my testimony that, again, you'll have to think with me now, I thought it interesting on my testimony that my fourth testimony tape, which was the one you saw, was on September 3rd, 2003. And I went into the hospital for a heart bypass on September 3rd, 04, exactly 1 year to the date. And then I had the operation on the 4th of September, which is 1 year to the date today. Now, here I am giving my testimony on September 4th, 2011, 7 years from the surgery, exactly to date. I didn't plan it that way. It just, as I began to look at it just in the last few days, there it was. And I kind of wonder, okay, Lord, because these things are not coincidences. And so you've heard about how your life runs in 7 year cycles, and the cells in your body have been replaced, totally replaced every 7 years. And every 7 years in the Bible was a release or jubilee, that the man in debt to a fellow Israelite, his debts were released and he was free from his debts. You can read about that in Deuteronomy 15. So he had this kind of a new beginning. Every 7 years. Here's a comment Brother Branham made on the 7 year thing, on the indictment. Every 7 years your life changes. So the 7 times 7, and it makes it kind of hard, and that's a complete change, and it bothers the women. 7 times 7, 49. Men usually get kind of funny carrying on during that time too. So at about 49, you got 7 times 7 changes that have taken place in your life. And so when I was reading about this, I was trying to think back in my life from the first 7, 0 to 7 years old, then 7 to 14, then 14 to 21, and think about those. And I got to thinking, and there were dramatic changes that took place in my life at each one of those. And so now here I'm not at the 7 times 7, 49, but rather 11 times 7 now, because I'll be 80 just about a little tiny bit over a month. And so that's so I went into numerology and wanted to know what they said about my 11 times 7. And they says a person is preparing themselves for death. So I thought, oh well, okay. Yeah. So, but strangely, I am very aware that I'm going through a transition. And I think many, somewhere in your 7 year cycles, you suddenly feel something's about to change. And you may not think that this is a 7 year thing, but you can kind of watch it and you'll find out it does run that way. And it's plus or minus 2 years, they said, but normally pretty close to 7 years, plus or minus two years. So I have a certain inner vitality that's coming back that I lost from the operation in 03, and, or 04, excuse me, 03, yeah, 04, got it, 04. And so there's a certain vitality coming back, not a muscular strength, it's an inside something that seems to be kind of standing up, that it felt kind of wilted for a long time. So I went back, going back to the 03 thing again, I'd like to cover the heart surgery thing. It says, I went into the hospital ER on September 3rd, 04, for a heart check because I was having a little trouble breathing. And I'd do just a little bit and I'd be out of breath. Well, they quickly said, well, we need to do an angioplasty right away. And they told me then I had three arteries that were blocked and needed an immediate surgery. I said, what choices do I have, thinking surely there's a slower, more natural way than a knife? And the doctor's response was, when I asked, what are my alternatives, he says, wait for your heart attack. Well, I didn't like that. And then he added the usual thing, you're a walking time bomb. That's a kind of a normal thing. So we're taught in the message to watch these little things. So these dates that I just mentioned to you, to me, are kind of interesting, that in September 3rd, 03, I said, I'm planning on stopping my travels. I didn't. 1 year later, to the day I'm in my hospital with a heart problem, I stopped my travels. So all these things somehow work together. I don't know what to say about it. When I came home from the hospital, they put me on 30 days worth of medicine. One of them was called Pacerone. And when the home health nurse came in to take out the stitches from here to here, when they came to take out the stitches, she says, what medications are you on? And I named them all. And when I said the word Pacerone, she got a certain look on her face and she says, they put you on Pacerone. But then she made no more further comment. So I got to thinking later as I was feeling, I didn't seem to be getting well the way I wanted to be getting well. So I took the time finally then to get on the web and look up Pacerone. And here's what it said. It says it is used to treat and prevent certain types of serious life-threatening ventricular arrhythmias, a certain type of abnormal heart rhythm when other medication did not help or could not be tolerated. This drug stays in your body for weeks to months, even after you are long not taking it. Therefore, serious side effects may occur even weeks to months after taking it. Serious side effects may include lung or liver problems. Tell your doctor immediately if you notice any of these symptoms of lung or liver, such as cough or shortness of breath. Well, mine was shortness of breath. So I think the Pacerone did a number on my lungs. And so I finally wrote to the doctor that did the operation and told him I was having problems. And he wrote back and suggested this over-the-counter cold medicine and completely ignored the fact that I told him I thought it was Pacerone. He didn't bring up the subject. And then several months later, because my lungs were still acting up, I went and made an appointment with the doctor that had done the angioplasty. And I went to him and I told him of the lung symptoms. But I didn't mention Pacerone, I just told him about the lung symptom. And he says, oh, well, Sid, he says, sometimes these things come back on you after you've had a heart thing. He says, things start plugging back up again. And he says, we may have to go back in again. And I said, no, this isn't the go back in again. I've been this way ever since the operation. It isn't something coming back. And he said, and he just looked at me, didn't say anything. And he says, I'm going to give you a stress test. So they gave me a stress test and they stopped it short because the operator on the stress test says fatigue. And my muscles felt okay, but I was huffing like a steam engine. And so they stopped due to fatigue. So the doctor gave me a prescription for nitroglycerin and he says, take this whenever you feel chest pain. Well, I don't feel chest pain, so I never filled the prescription. But praise God, I am on zero medication, so I'm sure glad for that. So I diligently jumped finally into the web to find out about curing heart problems and are there other ways than a knife? And I found out, yeah, there's many, and there's an increasing many. And through natural means, it can clean everything out, get your arteries cleaned out, and keep everything going. But nevertheless, at the time I was there, where the medical field is trained one way and the natural are trained another, and they sometimes don't overlap too much. And so I've kind of found that out. So just to give you an idea now of how much my lungs were affecting me, for a while I was teaching an adult Bible class before our Sunday morning service, and I was teaching it over in the fellowship hall over there. And I just, that teaching of that one class, I was so exhausted, I'd have to go over into the office and sit down and recuperate before I could even come into the church service. I don't think anybody knew that, But nevertheless, that's what I was going through. And then between natural products, after I studied up on them and kind of building up my strength, and then I started an organic garden because I don't like to just sit and pick up weights, you know. But I knew I needed exercise, so I started this organic garden, and I just started feeling better all the time, and the endurance is increasing. There's my first year on part of my organic garden. I kind of overdid it. But I live and learn. I'd never farmed in all my life, so I just filled up 5 acres. But the first year, because I hadn't disturbed the soil too much, my weed problem wasn't real bad, and I got along pretty good, and I put in a pump system that, because I found out that if I used the pump for the house well, I could burn it out because it's not made to run steady. So I put in a pump system and drew water out of my pond. And then this year, I've got part of the direction I'm going now. You probably can't see it, but I've got wood rails along there, and I've got grass planted where I can just mow instead of pick weeds. And then within these wooden rails, then I've got a nice little garden area, and I'm planting in there. But that's only just the beginning. I'm going to expand that. But the rest of my garden, under those is potatoes. Under those is blueberries. I've got rows of weeds that high. I haven't been able to keep up on them. But nevertheless, good exercise. God called me to the ministry in July 1965. I started missionary work in 1973, and he called me into full-time ministry in 1975. So that makes right at 30 years of steady ministry travel. And then to have now 7 years of no ministry travel is quite a change. But when God laid it on my heart solidly with the heart operation that did not travel anymore, the hole in my heart just lifted. And up until then, there's a need over here, gotta go. I was just continually motivated. But the last 7 years, gone, absolutely gone. But not the gone for ministry, but the gone for travel. And so consequently, I knew that I wanted to focus on then the local church and what we could do out through the local church. And so here's some of the things that we've been involved with. Due to the context from the years of missionary work, the DVDs from our church services and our Global Answers programs that went out from this church, the emails come in an enormous amount. And for several years, I was spending anywhere from 20 to 30 to 35 hours a week on nothing but emails. And it seemed like the more emails I answered, the more emails I got. But they were all generated from the years on the field where people knew me, would ask questions. And so many of them were doctrinal questions that you don't answer those in just a few words. So sometimes you'd spend a whole morning just answering one email on a serious doctrinal question. So we're right now in the process of starting a new thing that all doctrinal questions that I receive for a month, I'm stack them up. And then I'm going to answer them all, and we're going on video, and then we're going to put them on the website, and these will be the questions that are answered for this month, and so on down the line. So I think that's going to speed things up a lot. Sister Suzanne Brooks and Sister Rachel Pitzenberger, they intercept the emails and handle what they can. It'll come back in a minute. And handle what they can for me, so that lifts a lot of the burden off, and then the rest of them come to me, and then God bless Brother Jim Crook. He's taken a tremendous load off me in handling those things. Then another thing we've been doing, we did this home Bible study. We did a series on the book of Revelations as a home Bible study at the home of Brother Kyle and Sister Carrie Weichert. They deserve a tremendous amount of thanks because they had opened their home for these people coming in and out and hauling our equipment in and out, and then relatives of theirs would sometimes come and take Carrie's little baby and take her out just in case you might disturb the meeting and be gone for a while and then come back. And they just, thank you very much. And then he went into a tremendous effort to just make it all happen. So it just really worked great, excuse me. When Brother Franco heard that I was going to start that, he asked me if I would mind if he videotaped it. I checked with the Weikerts and it was okay with them. And so I certainly had no objection to it. Now, we did not have a big crowd at all. So there's the living room scene where we were teaching and the people looking into their Bibles and watching what's going on. And you can see the Franco's light up there in the top left-hand corner of that bottom left picture to give us a little bit of light. And then you notice here they focused on the viewer in the camera, and then I'm out of focus, but just to give you a shot from the camera angle, and then people diligently doing their studying. So when we got these series going, then Franco kindly gave me front page billing on our on our website. So when people would come onto our website, there is Brother Lonnie right there with his Book of Revelation studies. And it turned out there must be a tremendous interest in the Book of Revelation, because Franco afterwards has just kind of remarked, wow, you ought to see what's happening. The amount of space we use, I'll call it that, for our web with material going in and going out is called bandwidth. And the company we work with, we get bandwidth according to our need and they charge us according to our need. So let's say this much material we're using right along here, and then we have something happened, they automatically increase to feed the number of people tuning in on the web, and then it may drop back down again. So here's a here's a chart of the way that it kind of goes. And so we started down at the bottom left, kind of at 100,000 megabytes on the bandwidth, and then this one goes up to about 250,000 in the cycles there, and that's reaching from 07. You see the number of people viewing on the web is growing from 07. Then 08, it took a jump and kind of remained up. And 09 remained pretty close to the 008 program. That's what happened when we got the Revelation series going. It just leaped. That's exactly when we started Revelation and got it onto the web, and bang, up she went. And of course, it costs us more because we pay by bandwidth. Yeah, but nevertheless, you notice it came up, but it drew people to our website, where they found other things they're interested in, and it has remained up way over what it was. So consequently, we virtually get letters from all over the world of the people that have found our website and just stay tuned in, and they know you people from the web. When they'll write in and ask, this brother that has this look and that, I haven't seen him for a while. Is he sick? You know, because they catch these audience shots and they begin to feel like, they said, we feel like we know everyone and you've never even seen us. So we've got a family out there on the web for which we're very, very glad. The scripture says in Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. There's a tremendous interest in prophecy now, because everybody sees that everything is changing. And does the Bible say anything about it? Yes, the Bible does say something about it. And I want to get into that on Wednesday. The pastor, by the way, will be back Thursday, so everybody will be back home by then. So that's nice. So I'd like to talk just a little bit about Global Answers now, or Global Answers broadcast. We have quite a few different countries that are translating the Global Answers into different languages, as you saw a few of them, but there's more than that. And because the interest is there, they are only 28-minute programs, so therefore they're small bites, but we cram a tremendous amount of information into those small bites. So they're being used for all kinds of things. For example, you remember just about 3 weekends ago, this Australian couple that we baptized here, they came, they knew they had to be baptized that way because of Global Answers. And then the year before that, you remember the Reeds, they came, Max and Roz Reed. They were also from Australia because there was a church there that was sponsoring our broadcast on a television station there. And they came for the same reasons. It was all due to Global Answers. But they're not the only ones. We hear from them. We're always placing people around the world. We really see what you're saying. Do you know anybody that teaches what you guys teach? Can you put us in contact? And so luckily enough, I've traveled enough that I know pretty much where there are other message churches that I can put them in contact with either a local church or put them in contact with somebody in their nation that will know if there's a local church. So we're always placing people in contact. Now, the federal government, they figure for every letter they get from one of their constituents that it represents at least 1,000 people that have the very same attitude but don't write in. And so that's why every letter means a lot to them, because it represents not one letter but a multitude that would have the same opinion. And so when we get one letter from our Global Answers broadcast, we know that it's representing a lot of people out there that don't take the time to respond. So we're very encouraged. In the New Zealand pastor, Brother Ross Lane, he had our Global Answers on the local television station, and they enjoyed him so much that his son-in-law now is duplicating the Global Answers stuff and sending him out all over their part of the world. So we hear from Papua New Guinea and the Cook Islands and Vanuatu and all those little islands out there that they're getting the message out to, and groups are forming because of the Global Answers broadcast. Brother Derek Donaldson in Auckland, New Zealand, he visits the islands a lot, and he was telling me that one of the trips he went into Papua New Guinea, and he said he had quite a few young men that were ministers in denominational churches accept the message, but he said we needed to get them trained so they could take the message back into among their own people. And he says, we found the quickest way to do it was to give them a stack of Global Answers broadcasts. And he says they could just study up those and just kind of catch up real quick, because we take a lot of material and pull it down and push it through a 28-minute broadcast. The people from the Cook Islands, they're spreading it themselves now all over that part of the world and to other islands. And they visit among themselves, among the islands. And so they're carrying them all around. So it's moving all through the Pacific Islands quite nicely. These Global Answers DVDs are available in our library. They're available on the BC Fellowship website, and they're available on iTunes. So we got a lot of things. So the just to name a few of the uses that it's turned out. It's amazing. Just plain learning the message, training young ministers or new ministers for outreach, for witnessing tools, and of course for the television broadcasts. Now this is our old stage here that we would set up on the platform in the old sanctuary and do our shoot and then take it back down again. And that's the way it looked on the old platform over there. And that was the older sanctuary. Now, right up behind this screen up here, behind it here, is our current studio that most of you have never seen. It looks like that. And that's what we use for our Global Answers broadcasts. And then here's, let you see, there's all of our studio lighting, and you can see that it's actually a facade and not really a living room at all. And and then Brother Eric Erickson was interested in the message, and I was told he was, and so we went into Iceland, I forget now the year, we went back into Iceland and got acquainted with him, and he was just starting a television station, so he asked us if we could provide him with some material, so we did, and then so he has now grown from a little 50-watt television station to where he's now on satellite all over Europe and in many other places, and he's let us grow right with him at no charge to us because he likes what we do. And so the last time he contacted us a couple months ago, He says, I would like to start putting you on to television live. He says, I'd like maybe to broadcast your Sunday morning service and put it right over, we ship it over right over to him, and then it's all over satellite. I'll show you in a minute on a map here where we're covering. And so we weren't geared up for that. We didn't have quite enough bandwidth or stuff. So we just a few days ago, we finally finished up on the bandwidth and the proper equipment where we can now do live broadcasts through Brother Eric. Now, and he does all this just because he likes our broadcasts. When I was talking to him the other day on the phone, he says, Brother Lonnie, he says, when you guys' broadcast comes on radio to go, he says, our whole work crew stops and watches it. He says, it's the only program they stop to watch. So I thought that's quite a compliment. You know? Yeah. Now, the light part is where, that's, of course, if you know your maps, we're looking at Western Europe. And so the light part is where our broadcast is very, very strong. So you can see it just covers a tiny tip of North Africa, about Morocco, and then goes up through Spain and all the way up through, and goes all the way up through Norway and Finland and Denmark. And in the countries that have a fair amount of English speaking, we hear from them almost in proportion to the amount that they would speak English in that country. So obviously we hear the most from England and Ireland, but we do hear some from the Scandinavian countries because there's a high percentage of English-speaking people there. And then there's little waves, lines that go out and out and out there for the people that have extra strong antenna setups. They can also pick us up out as far as you can see lines going out there depending on the strength of their antenna system. And then the broadcast originates there in Iceland, in Reykjavik, the capital city of Iceland, and then he beams it up from there to a satellite, and then it goes out from there. I wish I could show you a genuine example of high definition, but all the world is going in that direction. And you know, when you walk into Sam's or to an appliance store that sells it, you see these big, beautiful wide screens with vivid, vivid color and extremely clear. Well, that's high definition. Everything is moving in that direction. We have not been able to move in that direction. This standard definition is what we're still working with, which is called 72 by 480 aspect ratio of 4 by 3. And that's the number of pixels in a 72 by 480. And so if you were to draw an outline of something, and then say, okay, now fill it in with shading and pictures and images, and you can do it with dots, but you're only going to be able to use 480 dots to shed around the eyes or the ears or the lips, and you start doing like this. That's kind of like what pixels are. Is that a simple explanation? Okay, look at the expert over here. I would look at him, but I can't see him. And then, so that's what we're currently using, and that's what you see up here. But high definition, so 72 by 40 represents pixels. High definition on the next slide has about 2.5 times more pixels. So consequently, it gives you a picture that's shaped like that. And so therefore, it can be much bigger, much wider, much more definition because there's more little dots. So this goes, as you can see, 1920 by 1080 with an aspect ratio of 16 wide by 9 high. So it totally changes the picture. So for comparison now, that's our picture compared to high definition. Everything is moving in the direction of high definition, and we want to move with it because I think technology is out there for the bride. When the audio tapes came out just as Brother Branham was told to start recording all his messages and all these things come along, and where would we have been without the old tape recorder back when he first started? I mean, I would hate to be listening to the message off of the memory of people, well, he said this and he said that. That would be just terrible. But we've got the actual voice during the days of the voice of the seventh angel. So we've got that voice that's been speaking to us, but we've got it accurately. That's why when I hear testimonies from people who were with Brother Branham, and they say, well, he told me this and he told me that. I'm glad to hear it, but I sure don't take it like I do what I hear on tape. Because often what they hear, or excuse me, what they remember is the way their mind interpreted what they heard instead of what they heard. Are you with me? And I don't want to hear that. I want to hear what he said. So that's the way it goes. So we're wanting to move in this direction towards high definition. And, of course, finances are the holdup. If anybody lays on your heart, the Holy Ghost lays it on your heart to help. Well, we'd be glad to have the help. And because it's not an inexpensive thing to move in this direction. Predictions are that television will be all over the web in the near future. That the way it's done now, with all the different people in the business, that it's all going to trim down, and all be coming over the web. And since the Bible says that the Spirit and the Bride say, come, that's our voice. We are Spirit and the Bride. So we as Bride, we have a responsibility to say, come. Amen. And whosoever will, let him come. So it's our responsibility to get the word out and reach wherever we can. And the best way is technology, because most everybody can be reached through technology, but very many cannot be reached any other way but through technology. And especially the way the world is going with closing borders and the governments changing things and getting very, very expensive to travel. Everything is moving in that we want to use the avenues that we still can use and reach in to these areas. And with the current administration in office in Washington, we cannot be sure what will happen, though through prophecy we know many things of what will happen, but we don't know when. And so consequently, we've been forewarned through the message of many things that are happening. Back in the 1950s, Brother Branham identified communism as not a political move, but a spirit. Now listen to this, you maybe have never caught this. He says, and what your kids are feeding on television, can introduce them to the spirit of communism, though not one word of communism is mentioned. But somehow there's a spirit there. Now that's a prophet speaking who knows the spirit world, you know. And so consequently, there again is another flag about these TV sets, which he said, kick them out of your home. And so being a spirit, then we understand why people act like they do in Washington and make the decisions they make, because they're under a spirit. It's not just a political thought process, though it is that, but it's initiated from a spirit. So I've gathered a lot of material that I want to bring on Wednesday to talk about where we're going as a nation, and try and show you that a prophet already told us we're going to go that way. And so we've been forewarned. So I want to try, if I can, to weave the two together. And it's extremely interesting study. And I think you'll enjoy it and be edified. And not only will it help you understand where we are and where our nation's going, but it solidifies more and more the fact that God did send us a prophet and give us a forewarning of the things that are coming. So again, thank God for Elijah. And so all these things are tying together. So then Wednesday, I want to talk about our economy, about currency, not current predictions, but currency predictions, stocks, the gold standard. They're all mentioned in the message. The communist agenda that Brother Branham told us would take over America, about presidential orders, executive orders that may amaze you. Brother Branham in many places said, such and such, it's already on the books. And I thought, how can he know that, you know? And now that I go back and I study the presidential orders, and presidential orders, executive orders are not new. George Washington gave some executive presidential orders. Abraham Lincoln actually used a presidential order to free the slaves because he wasn't getting cooperation out of Congress that he wanted, so he just used an executive order to free the slaves. So those things have happened all the way down the line, but there's a lot of things that have already been spoken as executive orders laying in the books that haven't yet been put into fulfillment, but they're laying there that when the time comes, they can do so. As you read in the paper all the time, the government never lets a crisis go to waste. They find some way to use the crisis to pull more power to themselves and depower the people. So that's the way it's going. And then some interesting events about earthquake events. And then if I have time, I'd like to talk to you about gardens and chickens. Yeah. So that's the way we're going. I gave you a quick service this morning. Praise God. I got it off my heart what I wanted to say. Let's have a word of prayer, musicians. I know what the clapping's for, short service. musicians and Paul, you can come up here. Yeah. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. God, we so thank you that we've not been caught unawares for the direction the world is going and the direction our government is taking us, where you told us it would come, and here it is. So consequently, we know, Lord, we're just another step closer to your physical coming, where we'll meet you in what the scripture says in the air. So dear Lord, we thank you for all these things, and may we stay tuned in to the Spirit and the direction you're moving and what you're doing. And our whole lives, Lord, are committed to you, and may we be the shining lights that we desire to be, Lord, to reach the elect lady out there, wherever she may be. And of course, we have a responsibility to warn the foolish virgin to get out of those systems and not be caught with the mark of the beast. So we have a tremendous job to do and a lot of people to reach, and it's going to take all kinds of avenues to reach them. And so we sure desire to do it, but we can do it, Lord, by your leadership, and you're laying it on the hearts of those who are willing to jump in and help. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, the song that rings predominant in my mind is "You Deserve the Glory." I'm sure Dad would say amen to that. Anything that's gone on in his life, he would say God deserves the glory. And I think we could all say that about our own lives. Amen. Let's just sing this to him. You deserve the glory and the honor. And
Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us see. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy.
Service just a little bit. Excuse me. Want to sit down a minute? Some of you have never, I know, have never seen a Global Answers. And I'd like for you to just see some little trailers of Global Answers, okay? Just a little glimpse of some different programs. I think it'll show you kind of what we're doing. Brother Franco, if you don't mind playing that for us.
The alternative to truth is religion. And so people who are not true seekers of truth are actually will become followers of religion, because man by nature is religion.
Of the Old Testament, the Word is light. Mm-hmm. The New Testament version is the life of the Word is light. So what does that mean to us? It means where God is living out His Word, where God is stepping in and pulling something out of Scripture and putting it into flesh and manifesting, and we see it, that's light. So therefore it was Paul, then Irenaeus, then Martin, that's St. Martin, not Martin Luther, and then Columba, and then the ones we all know, Luther, Wesley, and then at this last age, William Marion Branham.
But they were indicative of a span of time from the time of the Apostle Paul to our very day. And we're going to find that through that span of time, 2,000 years, there were seven messengers. As Brother Lonnie said, not angels, but men, actual men.
What is the mark? What or who is the beast? What is this that is called the image of the beast?
License plates, credit cards, computer chips, these are all modern things. Mm-hmm. Paul said it was already at work in his day.
Right.
So whatever we want to tag as the mark of the beast, it has to be something that we can take back to Paul's day. He says, remember when I was with you, I told you what it was.
And then when we get over here into chapter 13 and we begin to talk about the beast, it's a different Greek word. It's therion, which means a wild, untamed animal. And because we're talking here about church powers, then of course it would be wild, untamed to the gospel. It won't subject itself to the word of God. And so now that we're coming to the climax of the ages and God is saying, come out of her, my people, be not a partaker of her plagues, he's saying, come out of those systems that hold you back from embracing the fullness of the word.
The word of God is the roadmap. And I believe that there's no way to come to God except through Jesus Christ. Not your good works, not even religion can save you, but basic understanding of what Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary. He who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, became your sin that you might be the righteousness of God.
And so therefore Christ paid the penalty of our sins. Mm-hmm. So we cannot be charged again because he's already paid the penalty. So we stand justified before God because the demands of the law have been met in Christ Jesus.
You can't do it. Try anything you want. Try all the programs you want. You can break habits. You can stop drinking. But that's not transformation. Supernatural transformation is when you accept by faith Jesus Christ into your heart and you say, I don't want the steering wheel of life anymore.
Amen. Does anybody want to accept him that hasn't? We've got time for you. Let's all stand once again. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice just to sing this as you're dismissed. See you back here at 3:30.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Yes, He is my Lord. Yes, He